adorning Christ and His gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. As always, very thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Visit us on the web at www.agradio.org. We have been wrestling through the issue of what ultimately drives obedience. Is it fear? Or is it the message of the cross? You see, that's what I want to think about today. Most people, and I even had a call the other day of a woman who's really struggling with this, who hasn't understood this yet, and my heart goes out to people because they still don't grasp what ultimately is the motivation, what ultimately drives us, and they still are constantly putting themselves back under the law. They think that by doing all of these things, they are going to be right with God. They think that by vigorously keeping the Sabbath and their principles, they're the only holy, righteous ones in Israel. And, you know, it's a sad development because they have not yet heard Jesus when he declared, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What does it mean to be set free? Well, the Apostle Paul explained it. The Apostle Paul said that you are no longer under the law for condemnation, but you are under grace. Being under grace, being a new creature in Christ, you are now free. And so here Jesus is describing that. Here he's describing the wonders of grace. He's not speaking to them in John chapter 15 as slaves under the law. He's speaking to them as freemen. And so that's the language. Notice what he says. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you slaves. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Very important that the old covenant speaking under the law, and Jesus spoke to people under the law. How does that sound? It's rough. It's not giving you suggestions for living. It's not giving you principles for ethics. Speaking under the law is rough. It's commanding you. It's saying, do this and live. It's showing the principle of the covenant of works. Unless your life meets up to the perfect standard of perfection, you're not going to make it. That kind of speaking, dear listener, puts an end to you. It kills you. Because there's no ability for the recipient in himself to fulfill the condition. When Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, "Be perfect, for my heavenly Father is perfect," you have two options with that. You can say, that just means try hard and do my best. Or it actually means be absolutely perfect in keeping the law, because that's the standard. Now, if it's that latter issue, then we've got to die to the old man and be raised to the new. And so Jesus is now speaking that way. He's showing us that grace makes doing a reality. In this whole section, he says, "You are chosen by me. You did not even choose me. Without me, you can do nothing." And what does he say here? "I have chosen you to bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." Who's doing the choosing? Who's producing and bringing about the fruit? Who is giving us strength to do? It's all of the work of the Spirit. So this is a really glorious section. He's here summarizing this of what this relationship of friendship is. Jesus wants them to understand this. The assurance here is powerful. None of you ever chose me in the first place. None of you can do this on your own. And you got to ponder and stop and say, you know, it's no wonder there's such little assurance today. Most people think that the basis of their Christianity is some personal choice they made in their own free will to surrender themselves to Jesus, and they've not yet known or heard the scriptures. No one seeks after God. No one has the ability to seek after God. Grace means just that. You're saved by grace through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. None of your works, none of your Sabbath keeping, none of your rules, none of your laws can justify you. Grace alone. So what Christ is teaching them then is somebody could rightly come along and say, well, that sounds antinomian. That sounds like you're just throwing out all the law. No, now we establish the law, as the Apostle Paul said. We don't throw out the law. Now the law is a rule of gratitude for the Christian. And Christ is showing that here. He is teaching even them that the way to inflame obedience is not to speak in such a way that says, do this or else. But that the way of obedience becomes actually a reality when the gracious love of the Messiah is heralded in a form that makes clear his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So, did Christ speak roughly? Absolutely. Did he speak so as to condemn? A lot. Much of the early part of John's gospel is speaking to those under the law. It's a hard balance, isn't it? You know? Most likely there are some listening today who are still under the bondage of the law. They've not repented. They've not turned to Christ. They don't believe. And the word is heavy. The word is very heavy. You don't have a righteousness that will withstand the scrutiny of God's justice. Therefore, you've got to stand on your own. And if you're not perfect, you're going to face wrath. So that's why the message is come to Jesus. You know, and this is why we've always given the message. You know, Thomas Watson once said, it's a hard balance, isn't it? Thomas Watson once said, there's two things that I find the most difficult. The one is to make the wicked sad. The other is to make the righteous joyful. So that balance is tough in preaching. And we need to realize that the kind of preaching that is under the law, that's not going to inspire change or obedience. The law doesn't have the power to bring it. The law arouses more sin. I mean, you tell your kid to eat the cookie, he wants the cookie all the more, doesn't he? But when he spoke to as friends, when Jesus spoke as friends, how kind and how compassionate he was. How wooing he was. So this is where we are today. And you know, this has been my great concern today, even in Reformed pulpits. You know, sometimes I wonder, it almost feels like the message today is, and this just goes out across all the lands, you're not living up to it. You're not keeping the law. Don't worry about it. Jesus died for you, but you're still not fulfilling your end of the bargain. That's tough, isn't it? That's kind of the summary of what I hear today. Have we forgotten that the way that Christ speaks to his sheep is graciously? If you're looking to live out the Christian life, that kind of heavy speaking won't inspire it. What moves me about this entire section is the way that he moves them to response. Do you see what drives our obedience? Isn't a confidence in his love what is motivating them here? I've loved you, now you go love. I mean, listen to Galatians 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The fruits of abiding in his love, knowing that I am a son, now take on a whole different meaning, don't they? In other words, I am driven by love to love. Christ says, I have loved you. My father has loved me. I have loved you. I've died for you. I've freed you. And when the command is rooted in that, it sounds like this. Now you love as you have already been loved. put it simply, the whole motivation here to love is given in the language of confidence and intimacy between us and Christ. So this is a very important message. You know, years ago, my grandmother told me that her own father was an older German immigrant, and he was a hard man. He never smiled, and I'll never forget what she said. She said, you know, my father never once told me that he loved me. That was the old way. They didn't show or express themselves that way. Isn't it remarkable that the God of heaven and earth would demonstrate it like this? I want you to know I love you. He's saying this to his sheep. He's saying this to his people. If we're not clear about distinctions, is God's wrath burning against the unbeliever? Absolutely. You need also know, dear unbeliever, that if you don't believe the Son, presently the hottest, intense wrath of God abides on you. That's the other half of the message that's lacking today. But if we also don't make clear and be balanced, we end up wounding the sensitive hearts of those who are really trusting in Jesus. We end up promoting on the opposite end nothing more than just outward conformity, don't we, in the self-righteous. This is such an important thing to say today. And so, you know, I want us to remember this. We could be here. Everything's outwardly perfect. Everyone's living an outwardly model life. And yet we're still trusting in ourselves. So what is Jesus showing us today? What is Jesus teaching us today? He is showing us that what moves us beyond outward conformity, what actually moves us to action, is the genuine love demonstrated here by Christ in the message of his cross and resurrection, giving himself to set sinners free. So think of the assurance. You are my friends. I've chosen you. The purpose for which I have chosen is right here, that you should bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So there it is. This is the balance of what we do. It's law and gospel. To those under the law, if you don't believe today, the standard is real high. It's not do your best. It's keep the law perfectly. And on that day, the books will be opened. And every single word that was spoken in error, every single sin will be brought out into the light in front of everyone. And you will have to give an account. But if you've believed and you've died to the self and become a new creature, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And you see, that's the wonders of the freedom that the gospel brings. I grieve today because so few understand this. I grieve today because it's not preached. I realize the balance is hard, but oh, we need to show people how glorious the freedom is. People are still stuck in the bondage of their sin and their misery. And Jesus here is saying, he has broken down that through the cross, and all who believe in him, they too shall be called the friends of God. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program, and we do humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May this gospel and all of its power and glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.